Figure those benefits, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, he's gonna come up pretty quick too, so.
Okay.
We'll get our budget hearing started. We'll have the hospital come first, please.
Gotta take roll.
Oh, that's right.
Ballinger.
Here.
Edmonds.
Here.
Buchanan.
Here.
Wise.
Here.
Srilik.
Here.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, council members.
Evening, Paul.
Hi, Paul.
Mr. Edmonds, how are you?
Good.
Good to hear you. Thanks for giving me an opportunity to talk about the fiscal 2023 budget for the hospital. This budget is based on a non-resurgence of COVID, okay? So if there is a serious resurgence, let's hope that once again there's some federal money to assist us. But I will say that based on the last 2 years of COVID, we've already made the necessary expenditures to provide the equipment for testing and the supplies, and our employees are well trained now. So unless it's a really strong surge, you know, I feel that we're very prepared for it. So as I say, this budget is based on a non-resurgence of any material COVID volume in the next year. If we look at the capital budget, we've got a capital budget of $2.3 million. And this is a combination of necessary replacement for aging equipment and plant, with a combination with also of renovation to enhance patient safety and patient satisfaction and convenience. So one large example of necessary replacement, of course, is the roof replacement, which hasn't been, it's been repaired from time to time, but it hasn't been replaced in at least 30 years. And a good example of renovation to enhance patient safety would be the west parking lot, and it says west parking lot and storage, but what it really is now that we control the entire property just west of the hospital, we can take down the two houses and create a parking lot, and that would be used as an entrance for the specialty clinic. And a part of that expenditure is creating an access point for the patients and for the doctors to come in on the west side of the building. This is a big enhancement for patient safety. It's a part of the lessons that we've learned from COVID, so that patients don't have to come through the hospital all the way and pass through med-surg, where patients that might have COVID or other infections are residing. And so this way, like many of the modern hospitals that have been built, such as Kirby, Abraham Lincoln, and Lincoln, they have a separate entrance for the specialty patients. So it's convenient, they have their own parking area, and so this is something we're looking forward to. It'll also have a wheelchair-capable entrance. So those are some of the highlights of the capital budget. Now, in the operating budget, we have we're projecting an excess of revenue of over expenses of $700,000. It's been difficult to be very accurate with the budget for the last 2 years because of COVID, when we had a complete shutdown in March of 2020. And it we know very hard to predict how soon we were able to get volume back up to 100%. That took 10 to 12 months, getting the patients to come back, getting patients to feel comfortable to come back and take care of their necessary preventative health care. That's still something that is being worked on, but we're reaching out to the patients in the community, trying to get them back in here. But this operating budget, we feel we have a better a grasp of the revenue and the expenses now, like I say, because we don't project any COVID outbreaks. It's a $37.7 million gross revenue budget. The revenue is about 5% increase, and revenue is something that we have, we can't, it's basically kind of capped. Medicare and insurance is only going to pay us so much additional in a fiscal year, but expenses are not so capped. As a result of COVID, we've had to expend quite a bit of money to retain qualified staff, competition from other hospitals, the RN agencies that were reaching out and paying nurses to be traveling nurses, you know, paying them 50% more than they could make if they stayed at the hospital. So these were challenges that we dealt with, and we now feel that we have a very stable clinical staff, and you know, they were very proud of the staff. They've done a wonderful job during COVID, and now we're spending more time on training and trying to reach out to patients and just get them all back in here and get the volume up and make sure all that preventative medicine takes place for the patients. So in the expense category, as I'm referring to, you know, salaries and wages, that's 40% of all expenses. So while the revenue has got a 5% increase, we've got a 14% increase built into all wage and benefit expenses. And this assumes that all positions will be filled. That's never occurred before, but we always include in the budget, assuming that all positions will be filled. The Family Medicine Clinic will have two new physicians, one that begins on October 1. This is a female family medicine doctor that has contracted with us and will indeed start on October 1, coming from a rural hospital in Wisconsin, central Wisconsin. And then we are working, continue to work on the recruiting effort for a doctor that we would like to have start on January 1. That's part of the budget. Professional fees, 16% of total expenses. This is always a large component, but it's not as much as salaries. However, it's necessary to pay for the emergency department physicians and the CRNAs, which is the anesthetists that take care of anesthesia in surgery. That's very competitive now. There's not a lot of supply of CRNAs, and we've had to compete with the other health systems in Champaign and Bloomington that want the same CRNAs that we have. So those expenses went up 15%. And then there's the professional fees to run our physical therapy department, pharmacy department, and of course the consulting fees for legal auditing and security systems, things like that. Supplies, we were very glad to be able to contain the cost of supplies, but there are those supply shortages that we will be continuously challenged with. We do have good group purchasing, GPO group purchasing contracts that that do cap the costs of the medical supplies, and that's helped a lot. And then our purchase services category, this is our nuclear medicine, ultrasound, MRI services, and also the repair, maintenance, service agreements for equipment. And so we contract out for those services because we can't afford to have our own repair shop for this, for these expensive medical machines, such as the new CT machine that was, you know, acquired only a few months ago. But we have good contracts covering a multi-year period. So again, overall, a $37.5 million revenue budget with a bottom line of $700,830, and we feel good that we will accomplish this budget. But again, I have the caveat that this is assuming that there is no additional COVID surge. Are there any questions?
Anybody got any questions for Paul?
No.
No, sir. Good job.
Okay.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, folks.
Well, from the city side of things, things are looking pretty good. General fund revenues have increased over the last few years, with the largest increases being in sales tax, income tax, and the video gaming tax. General fund expenses are budgeted approximately $1.2 million higher than the current year's estimated year-end total. Around half of this, as you are aware, is due to the fire truck that was approved in the current fiscal year but won't be completed until next fiscal year. A lot of the other parts of that are, we've got a few park upgrades, we've got a couple squad cars in there. Some of the maintenance on the squad cars has gotten really high lately, and they're just starting to age out. The fiscal year 23 budget projects that we will add to our reserves by approximately $237,000. Which compared to the last few budgets we've put together has been a positive, although the last several have ended up very well. They weren't projected to be that way. The fiscal year 23 projected reserve balance would be around 15 months of operating and capital expenses. This budget includes a 3% COLA to all wages, as well as the three union step increases and a 2% step increase for non-bargained full-time personnel. As we're all aware, state-mandated minimum wage increases will continue to have direct impacts on the budget in the future years, mainly just in the general fund fire department and the garbage disposal or yard waste fund. This budget includes a 4% increase in the water portion of the bill and a 3% increase to the sewer portion of the water bill. And those are ordinances that you guys will vote on later tonight, along with the budget. The self-funded health insurance fund continues with another very healthy year this year. So again, there will be no increase in rates to the departments or employees in fiscal year 23. And the last thing I'd like to touch on, other than capital, the last thing I'd like to touch on is our three pension funds. Are all in a very healthy position, especially when you compare them to anybody else in the state. IMRF is currently over 100% funded as of 12/31 of 21, because they're on a calendar year basis. Which, considering we just joined in 2010, is amazing that we're all caught up and fully funded already, because they do those over a 30 to 40 year amortization period usually. Our police pension fund, as of 4/30 of 21, was 92.8% funded on an actuarial basis and 100.12% funded on a market basis. And the fire pension, as of 4/30/21, was 89.11% funded on an actuarial basis and 95.73% funded on a market basis. And just to give you an idea, when I started here in 2003, I think fire was around 40-some% funded, low 40s. So, come a long way since then. Just some highlights on some capital items. As I said earlier, the fire truck, which was already approved, but won't be completed until next fiscal year. Couple of squad cars, body cameras. We had a carryover of some of our approved equipment up here with the new server and some of the cybersecurity upgrades. Some of that's been completed, but some of it's being carried over to next year. Streets also had some major items this year, with salt storage building repairs and the asphalt storage building. So capital's much bigger this year than we've seen in quite some time, and we've still got a budget that's projected to end up almost a quarter of a million to the good, so. I'll leave that open to any questions if anybody's got any.
Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you, Clint.
Yep.
Thanks, Clint.
You're welcome, Tom.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn a budget hearing.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Call the roll.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Wise?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Frelick?
Yes. Evening, Chief.
Evening.
We're ready? Stand and do the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Now the clerk call the roll.
Buchanan?
Here.
Wise?
Here.
Ballinger?
Here.
Edmonds?
Here.
Frelick?
Here. Need a motion to approve the minutes of our last meeting, April the 4th.
I'll make that motion.
Motion's been made.
I'll second it.
And a second. Any discussion on the minutes? If not, call the roll, please.
Wise?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Frelick?
Yes. I'll have the clerk read the bills and payroll when she's ready.
General Administration, $3,409.41. Economic Development, $7,259.84. Police, $7,716.33. Fire, $11,487.57. Street, $5,718.23. Parks, $3,553.41. Public Health and Safety, $420. Liability Insurance, $450. Garbage, $29,650.77. Cemetery, $1,755.06. Water Operations, $36,486.13. Sewer Operations, $765.51. Warner Hospital and Health Services Operating Account, $834,538.93.
Motion to approve the bills, payroll.
I move to approve the bills, payroll.
Second that.
Motion's been made and second. Any discussion on the bills and payroll? If not, call the roll, please.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Wise?
Yes.
Frelick?
Yes. Let's see. This month is the official proclamation for the Arbor Day, which is always... We do a proclamation on, it's from April 29th of this year, and it's the 150th anniversary celebration of Arbor Days in the city of Clinton. I urge all the citizens to celebrate Arbor Day and to support efforts to protect our trees and woodlands, and further urge all citizens to plant trees to gladden the hearts and promote the well-being of this and future generations. We're a tree city. I think we've lost a few trees this year, but we've been planting quite a few. I know Rotary just planted some trees this year, so we try to keep up with that, and it's nice that we are the tree city. I think I heard somewhere there's 40, is there 43 tree cities or something like that? I think, I'm not sure. Anyway, we're proud to be a tree city for the Illinois. With that, we'll move on down to some reappointments.
Motion to reappoint Clarence Blessing to the Fire and Police Commission, set term to expire May 1st, 2025.
I'd make that motion.
Second.
Motion's been made and second. Any discussion on this gentleman? If not, call the roll.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Wise?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Frelick?
Yes. Next is the reappointment to the Clinton Planning Commission.
Motion to reappoint Steve Watkins to the Clinton Planning Commission, said term to expire May 1st, 2025.
Make that motion.
Second.
Motion been made and second. Any discussion? Call the roll.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Wise?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Frelick?
Yes. Next is the police pension.
Motion to reappoint Clint Lichtenwalter to the police pension, said term to expire May 1st, 2024.
I'd make that motion.
Second.
Second.
Motion's been made and second. Any discussion? Call the roll.
Wise?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Frelick?
Yes. Next is the Tree City Commission.
Motion to reappoint Diana Hall to the Tree City Commission, said term to expire May 1st, 2025.
Make that motion.
I'll second it.
Any discussion? Call the roll.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Wise?
Yes.
Frelick?
Yes. And we'll say it again, we appreciate everybody's service to these boards and their dedication to the community. Streets and Public Improvement.
I guess it's on here. We're going to discuss about the golf carts, what you guys have decided about what we want to do for ours. So, ideas? Have you thought about it?
What do you got recommending that we can put on the next meeting to vote on? Reach any kind of consensus on anything?
No, I really haven't talked to
anybody. What was the request he asked for? 10 or 11 o'clock? That's too late.
No, I mean,
That's pretty late at night.
I got like 10 o'clock myself, so.
Yeah, if we have things up on the square, like the concerts and stuff, that would about the time they really finish up. And I don't want to go 11.
No, that's
and
what I'm saying.
9 seemed like that was a little early.
That's not much over.
If we've got ball games and stuff, and you have it like out here, even at the schoolyard, and they ride them to school, sometimes they don't get over until later, especially in the summertime. They have a lot of different things. And so 10 o'clock, I think, would be
sounds
as
like
long as
number.
I would want to go.
10 o'clock sounds like a good number.
That seemed like a fair time, and there's no reason to be out any later than that on them. Mm-hmm. And I didn't. I still don't want to see the side by sides. I know that keeps getting brought up, but there's no way they just run too fast, and you never know who and what's going
to
be on them. And
louder too.
They're louder. They're just too fast. And
we got a time, not daytime, but monthly time when carts can be on the road, or are they year round? Or
Ben, what's that state that once the weather gets?
It is year round, but we can suspend operation based on weather and road conditions. Mm-hmm. We have done that only on one occasion that I know of, because quite frankly, we only experienced one or two operators over the winter time that were riding them, and we really hadn't thought about it until we encountered that. And was out riding carts in the snow and slushy streets, and deemed that to be unsafe. So we did suspend it for a few days. Be cautious here, but I would not have a problem with a season for golf carts. However, you're going to have people that complain about that, and then I'm afraid you'll give into that too. So Therefore, I think it is open year-round now. I guess you should probably leave it that way as opposed to changing it and then coming back. And we'll just monitor those road conditions. You mentioned 10 o'clock. I think that's ample late. You know, that's extremely late in the wintertime when it gets dark at 5 o'clock. So whether 10 o'clock or 2 hours past sunset, you know, right now it basically follows hunting hours, which is a half an hour before sunrise to a half an hour after sunset. Even those half an hours, there's still enough light. I'm not going to sit here and preach that it's incredibly unsafe. We've not had any issues, but I do have a bigger concern of nighttime hours and late at night. There's slow moving vehicles on the roadway. You know, you mentioned things on the square. Well, we don't have concerts on the square anymore. We have, and it's nice to have those events, but sometimes they last till 11 o'clock. So are we going, you know, I mean, I think we did put some thought into this. A couple points that I'll make is the comparisons that were given of 10 or 12 communities. You know, I'm not sure that a single one of those communities was the size of ours or has the traffic flow of ours. You know, places like Moroa and Warrensburg are much smaller towns, much more neighborhood friendly. You know, we have a maximum right now of 25 to 30 carts registered in the city. With the fuel prices and stuff, I can see that increasing. But I'll also say, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, and I saw a post by a local news media outlet and several comments on it. Quite frankly, it wasn't strong either way. Some of them said yes. There, for everyone that said yes, there were equally the number said no. And I looked down that list, and I'm not sure a single person who had an opinion about it has a golf cart in the city of Clinton. So here again, I mean, it's an issue, but is it really an issue? I mean, I understand those that have them, you know, want to be able to go to a ball game, a football game, something of that nature, and be able to watch that and still ride a cart home after dark. I get that. I only caution you as to what door you open. 10 o'clock is 10 o'clock, whether you go to the ball game or sitting at the bar from 4 o'clock till 10 o'clock. It's the same difference, okay? 10 o'clock is 10 o'clock. I don't think 10 o'clock is bad. I certainly don't want to see it 11 o'clock, midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. No. You know, that is my concern. No, it hasn't been a problem. Don't have statistics to back up that this is when the accidents are going to happen. But the fact of the matter is, the later at night you get, the more impaired drivers you have on the roadway. That is a fact. And it's not so much, as I have made the comparison about motorcycles, it's not so much the cart driver on the roadway or the cart operator, it's also the rest of the motoring traffic, you know, hitting them. So, I mean, I'm not going to strongly oppose a 10 o'clock. That, as I said before, that is ultimately up to you. But I think the more you open it up, the more potential you create for problems.
Is there any legal way they can get out to the football field or the ball diamonds?
Not without permission from the school to cut across private property from Illini Drive. They cannot ride them down Route 54
right
to the normal entrances of the school. They would have to have permission to enter through virtually the bus yard. So,
well, that's something to think about too. So.
I guess I didn't really give you, I was just sharing some opinion for you to ponder. Again, I'm not strongly opposing a 10 p.m. or extending it beyond the sunset hour. I would caution you in just because one or two people might want it later, or people that don't even have cars that think it should be later, you know, to accommodate that, if there is an accident that time of night, it may not be a good one. You know, so that's my two cents.
What would be your way of handling shutting it down in the winter months and stuff?
Well, ultimately, we would just notify via social media and our local media. You know, when we did it the one time this past year, we actually notified, because we knew who the couple cart operators were, we posted it on our social media, also the local media outlets, but then we also contacted directly those couple of individuals who we knew were riding them just to let them know. We didn't ticket them. Matter of fact, they were not at home, and we just said, we need you to take them home and park them. So it worked out fine. Again, you know, with only, I think we've only got maybe 20 or so renewed so far for this year, but at maximum we had 30 last year, so.
So you could handle shutting them down pretty easy if you had to.
Yeah, I don't think that's a huge issue. You know, it really kind of comes to common sense, but we can also, you know, monitor that. You know, it was something that was just kind of an oversight. If we have ice and snow, you know, it's kind of like a motorcycle. You assume people won't ride them, but to a couple people, they are kind of their primary mode of transportation. And so we'll have to be, you know, we're trying to get a little bit better grip on things like that, and also the snow routes. They kind of go hand in hand. So.
Okay.
Thank you, Chief.
Good. I'm ready to negotiate down and, you know, try. We tried this for a year, seeing that there's no problem. Maybe we need to take and just go 9 o'clock and see how that goes. If there's no issues, then we can maybe see if that's an issue with any of them after that. I have no problem with that. And that's a little less. 9 might be a better time.
Because we were talking when we started this to ease into it.
Yeah, and so maybe we just try it 9, and if there's any issues, then we can always take it off the books. And we don't have to extend it if we don't want to. And I'm willing to look at that instead of going to the 10. It's not a big deal, but, I mean, little later, just like you're saying, it gets lighter in the summertime. It's light till later on, but in the fall and the spring, no, it gets dark, and it's really pitch dark by 9.
They're actually a summer vehicle anyway.
Yeah, and that's basically what they're going to be wanting to use it for, but 9 should be plenty, and maybe if we kind of see how that goes, and if there's any issues, we can stop it, and if it's not an issue, we can maybe extend it in the future, but at least give them something for now. If that's something that pleases you guys.
Commissioner Wise, I will say on that, during the summer months when they are busiest, 9 o'clock is probably not an extension to a half an hour after sunset.
Might even shorten it.
Yeah.
So might even shorten it.
So then maybe then it's just the half an hour or 9 o'clock, whichever comes first.
Well,
how do you word it?
That's what then it's going to be tough to enforce that.
I don't know. I'm just going to point out that I'm not sure, you know, 4th of July, that 9 o'clock is really any extension. So
okay,
I'd say if you're going to go 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock
is okay. All right.
It'd be kind of difficult though to kind of split it, say in spring and fall, say 9 o'clock or something, and summertime have it set for these hours between this hour and this hour in summertime. That'd be too much of a hassle, wouldn't it?
You're going to have to change the ordinance and all that.
Yeah. Just go with what you want.
Just one state hour.
The ordinance and voting on the ordinance.
Okay.
Okay.
Steve?
Yes, sir.
We have to have a formal motion and everything for to change.
No, at this time, if we could get a consensus, if 10 o'clock is what everybody is sitting on, or 9 o'clock, then I can prepare some revisions to the ordinance and we can put it on file next meeting.
Okay. So you're kind of saying between 9 and 10 it really ain't much difference?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right.
Stay with 10 and we'll just go with that then. I don't care.
Yep.
That sounds good.
Yep.
10.
So
10
o'clock. Consensus is to extend it to 10 p.m.?
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you, Steve.
I'll get some papers ready for you.
Okay. And then also this week the guys are picking up brush. I've noticed some people still putting leaves and stuff out, not putting them in bags, and dumping on top of the other brush. We ask, please, to put it in bags. The cleanup this year is going to be May and June. Let's see, from, don't I have that written down here, from 6 to 3, Monday through Friday. And then June 4th will be the only Saturday this year for Saturday takeout, and that's from 9 to 1. And also, in June 4th from 9 to 1, they're going to have a recycle, and that will be in the city parking lot next to Sorrento's. You can get on the website and check that out. They're taking a lot more items this year, so there's a few items they're taking they are charging for. So the best thing for you to do is get on the website, city website, and check that out. That's all I've got.
Okay. public property?
I do not have a whole lot this evening. Yeah, I know you're shocked.
Just nothing?
I don't have anything.
You don't have anything?
Nothing.
Nope. Okay. Health and safety?
I got a little bit. Downey Park, the ground has been excavated for the new playground equipment to go into. So it looked pretty dry when I went by there, so they ought to be popping that in this week. I would think they'll be on that. So it's moving along pretty good. Also, the fire department received a $26,000 grant, wasn't it, Clint, for bunker gear?
It was 26.
Yeah, right in there. Well, it was for 12 sets of bunker gear. The prices have changed so much since we got the grant, and it says you have to buy certain stuff. Well, we called them back, and just the coat for the bunker gear went up $1,000. It was only $800. Now it's $1,800. So we had to readjust what we're going to buy, and the state of Illinois said that's okay. They understood. So we just keep it within that dollar amount. So that was taken care of. Illegal burning's been a big issue here in the last, just shortly. I mean, people are burning garbage. We went to one a couple days ago where they were burning a dresser in the backyard. People need to realize that it can't be manufactured lumber or anything of this nature. It can only be cut up firewood. Not clean your yard up and burn the leaves and burn all the sticks. It's actually firewood. And please call it into dispatch, and that way you're not running a fire truck for no reason. And another thing that needs to be kept an eye on is swimming pools and the fencing requirement around them. Okay? So, and usually we only know about that when somebody calls and complains, but that's all I have. Ben, you got anything?
I don't.
Okay, that's all I have.
Thank you. Tom, you got something?
No, I don't have anything tonight.
Okay. Well, we'll move on down to unfinished business. We got the 2023 budget.
Motion to adopt ordinance number 1547, an ordinance adopting budget fiscal year 2023.
I make the motion.
Second. Danny got it. Fine.
Motion has been made and second. Any discussion on the budget? If not, call the roll.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Wise?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Srelick?
Yes. Next is the fireworks display.
Motion to approve the donation of $7,000 to the Clinton Community Fireworks.
Make that motion.
I'll second it.
Motion been made and second. Any discussion? Call the roll.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Wise?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Srelick?
Yes. Next is the welcome signs for K&K Graphics, $2,600.
Motion to approve the installation of 4 Welcome to Clinton signs from K&K Graphics in the amount of $2,600.
Make that motion.
I'll second it.
Motion been made and second. Any discussion on the new signs? They're going to take the old ones down and refurbish the frames and put the new ones in and put them back.
They'll be a vinyl style now.
That's correct, with a cover on them, yeah.
They look real nice from the pictures and the things that we saw. They look really good. And they won't be rotting out and doing like the others, and they're needed.
Yeah, my question, though, isn't there 5 signs?
Yeah, there's 5.
Yeah.
There's one at the north end, you know, it's north of the homestead. There's one at the south. You know, there's one out there on Route 10 by, you know, just past Encore. The fourth one. There's one at Eddie, you know, just as you're coming into
all
Clinton.
All 5 roads.
And then, there's 5.
No, it's not Route 10 West.
Right.
So
the other 5 points do have.
Right, so.
Yeah, there's 5 altogether.
We got 4 signs.
We got 5.
We've got 54 East. We've got 10 East. Business 51 North, or South, and North, and then one out by the high school.
Right. So we need to add one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's 5.
The only one does have is Route 10 West.
Right.
Now, that one, Route 10 West, is
by, one at the school.
Just past Encore.
One out by the old
John Deere.
Yeah, that was Encore on there.
Yeah.
And one on 54 West, that's three. And you one got at, one at the park across from the
Homestead.
Homestead. Mm-hmm.
Right, that's
where's,
four.
Where's the other one out?
Charlie Suggs.
Yeah, 54 out
there. Yeah, that one. 54 is.
Pardon me?
I already got that one.
That one was done three years ago, wasn't it? Wasn't okay. It refurbished?
I already counted that one.
There's five.
Okay, you got
there. You count 54.
You got 54 East. You got 10 East. You got 51, Business 51 South.
That's three.
Business 51 North.
Four.
Four. And then you get the one at the high school.
Five.
That's five.
You already got the one at North, I thought.
One, two, three, four, five. There is five.
Was the one there at the park across from, didn't that one get redone at one time?
No, it's still, it's pretty bad shape.
Yeah, because I was thinking that one was done before the others.
4-H Fairgrounds?
Yeah.
Now, the others, had to be, when I evaluated them last summer, essentially had to be repainted. The one there by the high school is the one that, was deteriorated, and part of it came off, and I took it into a Tim Falwell, and that's how it...
We'll get them started on these four, and if there's another one, I'll bring it back up.
Okay.
Okay? Call the roll, please.
Wise?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Srilic?
Yes. Next is the ordinance amending Chapter 8 of the Title 7 for the water rates.
Motion to adopt ordinance number 1548, ordinance amending section 7-8-3A of the city code of the city of Clinton, Illinois, is a 4% water rate increase.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
I'll second it.
Okay. You got it.
Any discussion on the water rates? Call the room.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Wise?
Yes.
Srilic?
Yes. Next is the ordinance amending Chapter 9 of Title 7, the sewer rates.
Motion to adopt ordinance number 1549, ordinance amending section 7-9-8 of the city code of the city of Clinton, Illinois, 3% sewer rate increase.
I'll make the motion.
Second it.
Any discussion on the sewer rate?
When was the last time we did these? You got any idea? It's been a
water
while.
Water rates we try to do every year.
Yeah, okay. Sewer rates, I don't believe, have been done since the sewer separation.
It's been a while. Yeah. Okay. I agree. I think it's sewer separation when the sewer rates were changed.
Okay.
Any other discussion? Call the roll.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Wise?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Srilic?
Yes.
Way behind. What have you been doing?
Got one item to place on file is a letter of understanding for the police department. With that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'd make that motion.
Motion's been made, and I'll second it. Call the roll.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Wise?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Srilic?
Yes. Meeting adjourned.
Man, for once, I wasn't the one all behind. Mm-hmm. Good.
You all have a good evening.
All right, see you, Tom. Bye, Steve.